Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It was like Marmite, probably people either loved it, or they really, really hated it.
What three wrestling matches would you watch if you were stranded on a desert island? This is what I'm asking wrestling's best. In the ring, around the ring, behind the scenes, or behind a microphone. I'm Tom Campbell. Thank you for joining me on Cultaholic Island for another episode of Desert Island Graps.
Man who's just entered the ring, the creator and the originator of everything passing.
I'm doing all right, thank you. How are you?
All is good, thank you, sir. You seem to be a Palace fan, but yeah. Depending on the way the wind blows, sometimes you're an FC Basel fan as well, aren't you?
That's what my phone likes to think. I tweeted out a joke about a month or so ago, saying that I just responding to, I think I was getting some stick from some Liverpool fans because they beat us to win the title. And I basically just said, actually, I support FC Basel. And that's part of the joke. This is a long-running joke that me and Warren Banks have, where we just pretend to support other teams when our team loses. And then in doing that, I went to go and Google FC Basel's top scoring striker as part of the ongoing banter. And now my phone thinks I support Basel. So it sends me the live updates of whenever Basel play, as well as Crystal Palace, who are my actual team, and the Houston Texans, who are my NFL team. So I'll just be sat minding my own business, and I'll get a notification to say Basel are playing, which I obviously cared less than nothing about, but oh well.
Do you not feel like you've become sort of by proxy a bit of a Basel fan, though?
Yeah, I know all the results now, so
and
my phone's
fan.
My pulse, so it's I guess so.
How long have you been a Palace fan?
My life, all my football in life. So since I was about five, my dad tried to get me to watch Palace for the longest time, and I was kind of rejected it because I was so young that I just thought football was football, and you go and watch a game, and you pick your favourite colour and support that team. Which was doing actually the first few games that my dad took me to watch Palace, and then he got me a Palace kit, which then made the Palace colour is my favourite colour. So,
who's your all-time favourite for Crystal Palace? Who's an all-time favourite?
Probably Andy Johnson. Special mention to Eric Young, I think probably. Not Sanity / Impact Wrestling Eric Young, as in Eric Young.
Nice. Did you work as a steward at Crystal Palace for a while as well?
This is before I started wrestling or anything. So I just wanted a Saturday job. I didn't need the money or anything. I was quite happy with money. And it just kind of, it was a nice way to be able to watch the game and get paid. Only that I got promoted to stand supervisor, which meant I couldn't watch the game at all because I had to watch my staff. So... Yeah, but I did that for a few years, and then when we got promoted to the Premier League, it became less fun, and I just left doing it, and not long after I started wrestling.
How have you found watching football during lockdown? Because it's weird watching football at the moment. Well, it was. Yeah. The season's ended now, but it was a strange one.
I did stop actually. When it started up again, I was dying for any bit of football. When the Bundesliga started up, I started watching that just because. Well, I was desperate to see some football, and then the Premier League started, and I started watching any Palace game I could because, you know, they're quite easy to watch now. And then Palace happened, and I just stopped watching.
FC Basel, third in the Swiss Super League. So if you back that all, should be all right.
I should know that already, shouldn't I?
Well, we just decided that we take some of wrestling's finest folk and put them on a desert island. But before they go, we're going to burn a DVD for them with their three favourite wrestling matches.
It's not like an actual holiday, does it? It just sounds like one of them.
Catering's all paid for and all that stuff, so you get food on the island.
Okay, let me know some more. Go on.
Beautiful, crisp island. We've got you a hut near the beach. Well, everything's near the beach on a desert island. And never-ending supply of fresh vegetables. Might be some animals on there. And for some reason, electricity to just one television with a DVD attachment on it, like from the early noughties. But you're only allowed to take one DVD. It's got to have three wrestling matches on. What would you like your first wrestling match to be, Roy?
How big's the storage of this DVD?
I reckon we could probably get maybe three wrestling matches on. Of varying lengths.
I'd say my three favourites that I've been live at.
What will your first one be, Roy?
Ric Flair versus Shawn Michaels, WrestleMania 24, because it nearly brought me to tears.
The time has come for the Nature Boy Ric Flair to put his career on the line against Shawn Michaels. To be the man, you've got to beat the man. Ric Flair continues to prove why he is the man. Flair has survived this amazing effort. The look on Shawn Michaels' face tells another story. Oh, my God, what a shot! Over 70,000 fans paying their respects to the greatest to ever lace a pair of boots.
Always been a Shawn guy, but how that particular match was built up and the story going into it and how everything was executed, not just on that day, but in the months going up to it, and actually on that particular weekend with Flair going into the Hall of Fame and that sort of thing, I then changed allegiance to Flair. And for them to be able to make me, as an avid Shawn fan, do that, it's quite something. And just the particular, obviously, it's an easy, obvious story for that match, but I was just hooked on everything, the whole match. Every single move, every single punch, kick, every single facial expression, I was just on the edge of my seat for it. And then when the finish came, I was dying for Rick to kick out, and he didn't.
Can you remember the first live wrestling show that you went to?
It was WCW Nitro taping. I only remember the Goldberg match on that show. Purely because it was that short. It was your typical Goldberg squash match at the time. But I remember I left my seat to go and get some food or something, and I heard Goldberg's music, and I just stood there and watched the whole match, and then went to get my food. But I lost my shit. So he came in, big entrance, spear, jackhammer, 1, 2, 3. That was it. So that's the first one I remember.
A lot of time will have passed between your first wrestling show and WrestleMania Live. For those who haven't experienced a live WrestleMania, talk to us about what it's like.
Crazy. it's grown into like a very, I guess it's a long day. It is a long day, but it's everything so back to back, and it goes quite quickly. But it's just, everything's just huge. I can't really explain it. It's bigger than wrestling itself, really. But I've been to quite a few, so I guess the novelty hasn't worn off. But like the excitement since my first one I've been to is kind of maybe dwindled a little bit. It feels less special, I guess. You never kind of, your first one is always the best one or the most special one, isn't it?
So this would have been 2008, some years before you even began your wrestling journey. At what point was it when you decided that you wanted to give the wrestling thing a go?
It's one of them things that's on your bucket. It's something you want to do. And I just wanted to have just one match. Stand up in the corner on the second turnbuckle, looking out to people, looking back at me. But I did other sports. So like I played American football at university and for a little bit when I graduated university. And then I went into powerlifting. And then I stayed in powerlifting for quite a while. And I could never commit any sort of time, and even my body wouldn't allow me to do both. So whether that's both American football and wrestling, or powerlifting and wrestling. So I had to wait until I was done with powerlifting, and my body told me I was done with powerlifting in 2014. Yeah, 2014.
How did your body tell you you were done with powerlifting?
I injured my knee when I was in the competition. I did a squat and I didn't I guess it's probably quite boring, but I didn't wrap my knee up properly with my knee wraps. They weren't tight enough, so they were tight on one leg and not on the other, and that then put more strain on one leg, which then resulted in me injuring myself. And then I couldn't bend my leg for it was like a few days or whatever. I was just in pain for a few days, and then I just thought to myself, this isn't really worth it, because you get nothing in powerlifting other than a few trophies that aren't made out of anything worth anything. It's just all, you know, a nice pat on the back. You don't get any money, you don't get sponsorship, you don't get any sort of anything other than your own self gratification when you do it. So and sorry to take it back a bit, when that happened, or around about the time that had happened, I've been a wrestling fan. I've been going to Progress shows for a good while. I think like a year, maybe up to that point. A year, maybe no, about a year and a half, maybe 2 years even up to that point. And I was talking to Ali Armstrong about wrestling. He was trying to convince me to come down to train at the wrestling school, and having that in the back of my mind once I'd injured myself from powerlifting, I just thought, let me fix myself, get my body back into durable shape, and, you know, look like a wrestler, and then I'll go and do training. And then one day I just packed a bag and just went down to the wrestling school, and then just kept at it. So,
with the exception of obviously the physique, is there any skills or attributes that you learned through powerlifting that has helped you in your wrestling?
Learning how to pick things up. It sounds trivial, but there are safe to pick things up, you know, lifting with your legs, and how to bend your back properly, and how to shift your weight and stances to keep you in I guess, yeah, having a strong stance and that sort of thing. Because when I did powerlifting, a lot of it carried over to when I did American football as well. So I played in the defensive line, and there could be, there's like, you know, you're in a position, an uncomfortable position on the line for a considerable amount of time during the game, especially if your defense isn't very good. So if you're on the pitch for quite a long time, or even if your offense isn't very good and your offense can't score, then your defense team, they're back on the field, and you're just in an awkward position most of the time. And it's learning how to maneuver your body weight and have that strength to hold yourself in one position for a long time. It carries over to wrestling as well. So, yeah.
Do you think that had you not injured yourself in powerlifting, you may have continued to do it? Or do you think in another life you may have continued down the American football route?
No. So American football, I loved it when I did it at uni. When I started playing it after uni, I then quickly hated it. Because it wasn't the same. Like, you had a camaraderie and like your teammates and stuff. You just enjoy spending time with them. It's not really the same. It doesn't really carry through when you graduate from university and you're playing with American people, with like real life people. I say real life people, adults, people who have jobs and responsibilities and things, and you kind of just don't really get to spend that much time to get to know him like you do with your uni teammates and stuff. And plus, like, the days that they had training and games was like a Sunday, and going into work on a Monday after playing American football was just not fun at all. At university, at least I had a morning to sleep in or whatever. It's before lectures or what have you. But, you know, when you've got work and then your weekend's taken up, half of it's taken up by getting the snot beaten out of you from American football, it's not the same.
you swapped snot beatings for wrestling then, it sounds like.
Yeah.
What were your preconceptions before you started training to wrestle?
I thought I was too small.
Really? As a powerlifter, you still thought you were too small?
Yeah.
Wow.
See, I always compared myself to the Americans. It was going to watch like indies over here in the UK that made me realise maybe I'm not too small. But then also as well, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but a lot of wrestlers, they lie about their weights and their heights.
No! Sorry.
I'm sorry. So it's naive me going into wrestling thinking, you know, people are, the average height is, you know, 6'2", the average weight's 240 odd pounds or what have you. So I'm like, and the thing is, I'm 6 foot anyway, so I don't bother with cooking up my height as such, because it's just silly. If I'm stood next to someone and I say I'm 6 foot, and then I say I'm 6'2", and I'm standing next to someone who's 6'1", and they're taller than me, it's just a bit silly, really. So anyway, so I didn't think I was big enough, was the first thing. And then I also had concerns whether I would enjoy it. And if I didn't enjoy it, would that take the love out of something that I enjoy watching, and I have enjoyed watching for a considerable amount of time? But luckily, when I went to start training, I realised, okay, I am more than big enough. I picked it up quite quickly, purely because I'd watch it all the time, and you know, I'll end up being okay at it. So,
a lot of times when people talk about getting into wrestling, it's been compared on this podcast to becoming a magician, in the sense that you watch magicians when you're younger, and then when you learn the tricks, it either ruins the magic for you or it makes you want to learn more. And like, once you're behind the curtain, it's like, I want to know how to do that but better. Which do you think was your initial reaction to stuff like that?
Probably the second. There's things obviously that I learned that the magic was explained to me, and I was kind of like, that's a shame. But I just wanted to take it all in as much as I could, really.
Let's get on to your second wrestling match then, Roy. So we've got Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels from WrestleMania. What is your second match for the DVD, sir?
My second match for the DVD is Triple H versus Sting, WrestleMania 31.
If someone stands between me and this company, I am kicking their ass. I have been handed an opportunity to end a legacy.
An icon.
To end an icon.
I'm not here to fight for WCW. I'm here to take Triple H down. And that's exactly what I'm gonna do at WrestleMania!
You never thought you'd ever see them two in a ring together. Sting's WWE debut, you never thought you'd see him in a WWE ring. Then there was the match itself was just great anyway. Then there was the whole WCW versus WWE thing, the DX versus NWO thing. I'm a big sucker for nostalgia. So, yeah, when mid-match you hear the DX theme, like, what the hell's going on there? And then a few minutes later you hear the NWO theme, and then I lost it. Absolutely lost my mind. And then you had Shawn come in, like, which one is he going to side with? And all that sort of stuff. Yeah, it's the best.
You mentioned earlier that you went to a WCW show in the UK. Were you on the WCW side of the fence during the Attitude Era, during the Monday Night Wars?
I was firmly in the WWE camp, but I used to watch both. Well, from memory, I think Nitro was on, the first hour of Nitro was on before Raw. So I used to watch the first hour of Nitro. This is when both were on like a Friday night or what have you. I used to watch the first hour of Nitro, then watch Raw, and then I think when, if technology allowed me to, I'd record Nitro, watch Raw. So, I don't know, something about watch the repeats on the weekends or whatever. But yeah, I'd watch both, but I'd watch WWE more attentively, I'd say.
Was there somebody from the WCW camp that you were just desperate to see on the WWF?
Goldberg. Well, no, actually, to be fair, I'll say that. When the invasion happened, and I was thinking, oh, all these guys can come over. Like, you can have NWO versus DX finally, and have Goldberg come over, and have Scott Steiner, and all these sort of things, and have Booker T. And yeah, we got all those guys there in the end anyway.
So you're at this WrestleMania Live. Is there a particular tradition that you have when you go to WrestleMania across the water?
Not a tradition as such. Basically, my dad lives in Miami. So whenever I go over, I'll tie that in with a visit to my dad's.
You were over in the States earlier this year, weren't you, before basically the world caught fire?
Yeah. But what actually happened was I was meant to go over for WrestleMania week, but I couldn't because of work commitments. So I thought, okay, well, I'll just go over to Miami to see my dad. I'll go over a month before and see my dad and stuff. Unfortunately, I had to turn down bookings and that sort of thing for that weekend, but... As you mentioned, the world went mad and I wasn't allowed to go. Well, no one was allowed to go over to Tampa for WrestleMania because it didn't happen in Tampa in the end. But I went over to Miami. I was in America for their lockdown, and then our soft lockdown got announced while I was in America and I struggled to get home. And then when I got home, we had our proper full-on lockdown.
How have you kept yourself sane during lockdown?
Just trying to get myself in the routine, really, to be honest. I found it all a bit difficult at first, especially when the gyms closed and I had to then scramble to get any sort of equipment into my flat. Well, I got into a routine and a pattern, and actually, to be honest, I don't dislike it. I don't get a chance to be in my flat a lot, so I work. This is also another exclusive. I do actually have another job that's not wrestling, so I have a 9-to-5 after work, and then I go to the gym after work or wrestling training after work. And when it comes to the weekends, I'm wrestling on shows, so I don't often get a chance to sit and just enjoy my own company or enjoy my flat. It's been a bit of a running joke with the boys and the girls we've been wrestling that Sunday nights I have takeaway and I put my phone on airplane mode for a few hours and just enjoy a bit of silence and food that I shouldn't be eating. And that's usually my big highlight of my weekend. But now, because I can just be at home, I'm just spending a lot of time at home and I'm getting things done that I wouldn't usually get done at home, like a bit of DIY and all that sort of stuff. So, yes, it's all right. Bit productive.
You keep a journal of every single match that you've had?
Yes, I do.
And it shows you how quickly you went from training and learning the ropes, coming away from being a powerlifter and doing stuff on the football pitch, to becoming a wrestler, to, am I right in thinking, match 35... of your career was NXT UK?
I think it was 35. It's either 35 or 25. I'll say 35 to be safe, because I'm pretty sure it was 35.
I mean, 25 is even more impressive, admittedly.
Yeah, at the time, I didn't think it had. Bizarrely enough, like, I just thought, not that that's what happens to people after 35 matches, but you don't, I guess you just don't think what's an acceptable time for something like that to happen to you. And I think around about that time as well, I think it's quite well documented that Braun Strowman, his fourth match was on Raw or something like that. So, but yeah, it's mad. You look back at it now, it's mad. So I had, for those of you who aren't aware of my stuff, so to speak, a Wasteman Challenge in July of that year, and it just so happened that that show was watched by Mr. Regal.
The name's Johnson, and I'm here. Don't drink cider, don't drink beer. I'm a bad man, got no fear, and I'll slap you if you come near.
What the
Johnson, call me Roy. I'm a big man, not a boy. But the one you should annoy. I'm so wavy, can't be coy. 1v1 with Ravy Davy. Like I said, I am so wavy. Are we chicken? We love gravy. I'm gonna fight, I'm from the Navy. You can't rap, you can't spit. You can't rhyme, you just for a punch, I hope that I miss. Taking a mick, I'm taking a piss. Hear what I said? You're a chap, you're a Ned. I hit a punch, I knock off your head. Put you to sleep, I'll put you to bed. So if you got a medal, bring it out. Or you don't, shut your mouth. Now where I'm from, I come from the south. This is London, this is my house.
I guess he liked or saw something in me from that show, and we had a quick chat after the show. I got a message from Jim Smallman to say he might have some work for me for WWE.
You found out at the same time as us that Pete Dunne's first match within the WWE system, within NXT UK, was going to be against you. Had you worked with Pete Dunne before?
Been on shows with him before. But obviously, at that point, at that stage of my career, I'd only, 20-odd shows. I think he just started having his British Strong Style run at Progress around about that time. So I'd met him a few times, but I'd never wrestled him.
I might be on his DVD. So.
There is at least space for a promo on there. So for those who aren't familiar with the work of Roy Johnson, the Waste Man Challenge, it's a rap contest that precedes a match, basically. And this is what Regal had seen of you. Part of what he'd seen was a Waste Man Challenge, and you got the chance to bring that to NXT UK. Talk to us about the promo that exists of yourself, Roy, on WWE's YouTube channel.
Roy Johnson, do you have any words for your opponent, Pete Dunne, ahead of your first round contest in this weekend's tournament?
May I? Oh, sure. The name's Johnson, big wavy. I eat chicken. No gravy. I go hard. I'm not lazy. Wanna see me? Then pay me. 1v1 with man like Peter. I'm so hot I broke the meter. Can't score past me. Can't beat this keeper. You go deep, then I go deeper. 1v1 with man like Pete. I'm a top athlete. You can't compete. I'm hard to miss. I'm hard to beat. Try stuff with me. I'll make you weep. You got a medal? Bring it out. Or you don't? Shut your mouth. Know where I'm from? I come from the south. So repeat. I'm knocking you out.
All right. That was very unique.
So as you mentioned, Mr. Reed would see me do a Waste Man Challenge, and then he had apparently affectionately named me or nicknamed me as Roy the Rapper. This is what I've been told at a later date, that when asking about me, he'd ask about Roy the Rapper. So he knew that was in my locker, so to speak. And when we got to the tapings and for the tournament, the day before, he pulled me aside and said to me, can you do a promo for .com? I was like, yeah, sure, that's absolutely fine. Want you to do a rap promo about Pete? And I was like, oh my god, no. No, because I'm actually not very good at rapping. So and also it's added pressure, cameras, and I mean, obviously I've done it in front of cameras and stuff, but it's a little bit different when it's a camera right in your face and it's just you. I'll go away and I'll think of some bars or whatever, and I just said to him, can we film this tomorrow? Is that all right? And he said, yeah, that's fine. He came back later, maybe about 5-10 minutes late, saying, we need you to film this tonight. It's like, right, okay, well, give me an hour or so and I'll think of something. And then I was really racking my brains. And then next thing I know, he's like, can you do this now? And I think that's probably an old WWE test. They probably like to throw it to people. Can you think on your feet? Yeah, that sort of stuff. So yeah, then I went over and did the famous chicken no gravy promo with Charlie Caruso. It was like Marmite, that promo. People either loved it or they really, really hated it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Think about, had I listened to all those people who told me I shouldn't do it, who I should be afraid of losing all these opportunities, who I won't get booked, had I stood up and lived in that fear, then I wouldn't have had the outreach that I do, and I wouldn't have resonated with so many people that I've already resonated with. I know that there's power in me not being afraid anymore. That's something that I've acknowledged and I'm living in. The less afraid I am, the more doors it opens for other people. Because if I'm sitting here and I'm proud to be Black and I say that, wear it on my sleeve, and there's no hiding from it, no running away, sure, even if the people are right and I can be ostracized and I can be crapped on and blackballed, that will lead more people to be proud of their Blackness, more people to be proud of who they are, and then it stops being taboo. I don't care if I never get my shot. Real talk, I really do not care if I ever get my shot, if the next person does. You know what I mean? Like, if it's me, if Darius has to be blackballed, if Darius has to, like, take that L, then I'll take it for everyone. Because there shouldn't have to be another Darius Locker. Revolutionary shouldn't have to exist. That's the point. Like, I'm here because I have to be, and I'm Black because I have to be, and I'm proud because I have to be, because for so long y'all told us that we shouldn't be, and we can't be.
Here we go. Ah, oh, this is it, main event.
Man, it's got that main event feel.
Absolutely, man.
Hashtag everything pound.
Use the hashtag if you're watching on VOD. This is a big, big opportunity for Big Wavy.
Here we go, main event on the way officially.
I guess it's his party.
Where did the idea come from for Everything Patterned?
There was a bit of a discussion debate on Twitter. I think it was 2 years ago now. It actually came up on my time hop. Rob Brazier, the photographer, had a slightly discussion on diversity in British wrestling. And I've had thoughts on it and what have you. And I don't think that it's for any reason that the cards aren't as diverse as they should be. But they're just not. So, and I was quite vocal about it, not in a negative way, just gave my own thoughts on it. And I was backstage at a show and I was talking to a wrestler, and he said to me, okay, I get what you're saying, but like, if you were to, on this show, replace, I don't know, a wrestler with a Black wrestler, who would you put there? Who would you put in that spot? And I had ideas, but in the same time, I saw who he was coming from in terms of the profile of Black British wrestlers in the country isn't as high as they should be. And the only way you can get to that sort of level of, I guess, or get to that sort of level of notoriety and that sort of thing. And so I was sat at my day job and I was a bit bored, had nothing to do one afternoon. I wrote out this kind of fantasy card featuring all Black talent, essentially, which then thought, oh, we could run a show out of this. So actually, then the card was really good as well. But obviously, I don't have the money, the know-how, the time, the desire as well to put on a wrestling show. So I just kind of left this written out card in my wallet and left the idea for maybe a month or so. And then I got an email from Wrestling Resurgent saying, we want to do this show for Black History Month. And I was like, oh, did I tell someone about my idea? And is it gone round and you've heard about it or what? But no, they just had essentially the same idea as me. So I typed out into the reply email the card that I'd written down on, so that was in my wallet. So there's only one wrestler who was on that bit of paper that I had that didn't make the show, and that's because he was booked elsewhere. Quite damning, really, if you think about it. If you can have a particular Saturday and have 95% of the card that you want to book for your show and they're all available, what does that, that kind of backs up my point really about the fact that these guys who were on the show, they should be more played.
Yeah, it says, it, like you say, it does say something about sort of representation across wrestling. We've not long had, and it continues on, and I think because it's not as prevalent in timelines, people think it stops, but it continues on. The Black Lives Matter movement has been a big part of the last few months. How do you think something like the Black Lives Matter movement will change wrestling for the better?
I'd like to think that it will help with regards to diversity on shows going forward. But as we've seen recently, wrestling's got its own other challenges that it needs to deal with first, and needs to clean its house, working to solve the world. with the speaking out movement, I think that's more of a priority in terms of sorting out what needs to happen with wrestling going forward. But I hope we're in a place where the cards become more diverse and everyone gets a fair crack, and then it's more of a level playing field around wrestling, because I've been quite outspoken about it. Big T's been very outspoken about it, and then there's been a lot of talk in America as well about how black wrestlers are presented and the opportunities given towards them, and how they should be more, not only more black wrestlers, but more, you know, blacks and ethnic minorities involved with wrestling shows, whether that be promoting them, producing them, you know, managers, photographers, writers, you know, all levels really, so you don't get the current black wrestler stereotypes and tropes that you do now, that you see in America, and have people who maybe understand these people a bit better, so they know how to present them onto a TV show, for example. So there's been a lot of talk of that in America, and I probably see more so in America because the American wrestling scene is more, it's all going, you know, it's all going ahead. There's new content coming out every week, whether that be from WWE, AEW, Impact, MLW, whereas over in the UK, the indies have stopped, and NXT UK is on pause at the moment. So I think there's more of a conversation about what's going on in America than in the UK in terms of actual wrestling product, whereas there's, you know, a lot of discussion of over here and how to, well, and while we are on a pause on how to make wrestling a better place for when we bring it back. With regards to speaking out movement, and it ties in with, I guess, everything else, is having professional wrestling actually be professional, have like policies and procedures, and in terms of weeding out people who aren't doing the right thing, where it's never had that before. It's been a bit of a boys' club, so to speak, and it's been governed by wrestlers, and that's, as we've seen, that's not really the best the best way for it. So it needs to actually act like a proper business or an actual sporting organisation, and have someone impartial at the top of it, feeding down how things should be, and with the input obviously of wrestlers, because we understand the business and the ones who want better change should, you know, be steering that discussion. But then to have someone impartial at the top of it to say, well, hang on a minute, this is what's going to happen because, you know, of how it should be, not because you're mates with this promoter or you're in with this promotion and, or you're a big name in wrestling, so you get let off, or that sort of thing. That all stuff needs to go. Just everyone needs to be treated equally and be a back at level playing field.
Are there plans for an Everything Pattern 2 or a show of a similar style?
Obviously, we don't know when wrestling will be back. I had, before the Speaking Out movement happened, I had conversations with a couple of promotions in terms of taking it out to London, which is, due to things that have come to light, then it's probably not best that I do that now.
Yeah.
But it's something that's desperately needed now, from what I understand, that conversation I've had with other people, with other wrestlers, with wrestling fans over Twitter. It's something that people want, because it's such a feel-good show. And with regards to everything that's going on with in the world with Black Lives Matter, and that sort of thing as well, it is needed, because
we made this big noise when we did the first show. You know, it's nothing to say we shouldn't follow it up and see where we can take it.
Is there somebody you'd like on a dream card for Everything Patent too?
Wanted to keep it as British as possible anyway. Bringing in imports isn't going to solve the problem that we have in British wrestling with equality. I pretty much got my dream card when I first did it now. I'd love to have Jody Fleisch on. He was the admitted name, basically, from the original card that I had. He couldn't make it because he had another booking that day. I'd love to have MVP on. He was quite vocal in support of the actual show. And MVP's a great guy anyway. So accomplished, he has no problem with bringing others up. He's expressed a desire to wrestle Rampage Brown.
Oh, that would be something else.
He's told me that in private, and then he's gone on to tweet on about it and stuff. And I think that would be a great match to headline one if we're ever able to do it. Obviously, a lot of things have changed since then. MVP's now doing fantastic work on Raw and part of the Hurt Business and all that sort of stuff. So I don't know whether it'd be possible to even get me if we could now, but he'd be one. But as I said, I want to keep it as rest as possible, really.
Before we get to your third and final match, there is another caveat that I like to throw on this desert island. I'm also allowing you to take with you, as well as this DVD, you're allowed to take a movie, an album, and a luxury item.
Oh, okay.
So it's sort of when I say to you, you're allowed to bring a movie with you. What's the first movie that comes to mind, right?
I'd probably say, I'm not really a big movie guy, you know, but I have favourite movies, and I know I'll say one, and then I'll go back and think about it, and I wish I'd say something else, but I'll say for now. 40-year-old virgin. Like, I've watched the film so many times, and every time I still find it hilarious. So, but then I know I'll think about it. I'll be trying to get to bed tonight, and I'll just think about a film I've missed out. But hey, I've said it now. I've committed.
That's it. You're on it. You're committed to the bit. How about an album?
2020 Experience by Justin Timberlake. Because there's a deluxe version where there's like nearly 30 songs. So I picked that version because I'm not limited my options.
How about a luxury item?
I mean, what's a luxury item? Can I take my phone with me?
I mean, you can, but you can't use it to make phone calls.
I'll take PS Vita with me.
You might be the only person playing PS Vita still that I've ever met. That's incredible.
But it's such an amazing bit of technology, and amazing bit of kit. I wish was still around because it's such a good idea. But if I could have that with me, so I wanted some form of gaming console with me, you see. I'm not want to bang out a game of FIFA or whatever. Like, I don't want to take my whole PS4 with me, because then...
Your favourite game on the PS Vita?
I'd first probably say that one of the old SmackDown vs. Raw games, I think. I used to love being Brock Lesnar on the old games, just because he's, like, so big and... Yeah, I'd probably say Brock Lesnar. Although, like, if we're talking back to No Mercy, N64 days, I'd probably say Kane. Because remember, if you were in a Royal Rumble and you had Kane, if you just held down the strike button, he'd do like a massive uppercut and just send someone over the top rope. And I'd just win so many Rumbles just doing that. Before I say my third and final match, I'd like to give a couple of honourable mentions, if I could.
Yeah, of course you can, sir.
So this match would have been in here if it wasn't for my own personal caveat that it had to be a match that I've been live for. So, but this one I wasn't. So this particular match is CM Punk versus John Cena at Money in the Bank 2011. I think in terms of moments and crowd moments and that sort of thing, it's hard to beat that one. Yeah, like I said earlier, I don't really remember moves and such much, but moments stick out, and the whole moment of Vince coming down and about to do the Montreal Screwjob, and Cena saying no you don't, and then Cena losing, CM Punk running away with the title, the crowd going absolutely nuts, blowing the kiss, and then running off into the night with the belt, just
hell of a moment.
Yeah, so there's that. But that didn't make my top three because I hadn't been there live for it. a bit left field. I don't know how I feel about expressing this one. I've mentioned this on Twitter anyway before, so people who know me won't know this won't be any surprise to anyone, but I want to give an honourable mention and shout out to season 2 of the Mixed Match Challenge. I couldn't pin one match through that. I just absolutely loved season 2 of it. It's just, for me, that was just wrestling. I absolutely loved it. Everything. about it. It was the best.
Just a cool concept, and it was nice to see them experimenting with something like Facebook Watch, and seeing like just a different medium. I'm a big geek for stuff like that as well. And then just the combos of teams that we had, and the way they all played off each other was really nice. I'd like to see that back again, actually, the mixed match challenge.
And also, there's a lot of dancing.
There's a lot of dancing.
So my third and probably one of my favourite matches I've seen live be Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker at WrestleMania 26.
Shawn Michaels! Watch it, swing! It's over! The streak is over! The streak is over! Michaels has done it! No! What? What? You can literally see their bodies shaking, twitching, in pain, in emotion. Michaels back to his feet first. He is stalking. He is tuning up the band. He's looking to put the Phenom away. Sweet chin music.
No, 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 no.
Choke slam.
Oh, my God. How does he do it on that leg? How did The Undertaker deliver that choke slam? But can he get the cover?
Can Undertaker pin Shawn Michaels here? Will he end the storied career?
I don't know if Undertaker can even stand on that leg.
You did hear correctly. I said 26 and not 25. And the reason for that is because if you mix the match they had at 25 with the story they had with Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels at 24, you get Shawn versus Taker at 26. And because I was a massive Shawn guy, that match also affects me quite emotionally because without realizing it, I witnessed Shawn's last match. Or without prior witnessing it, because there was no doubt in my mind that Shawn was going to win that. And he didn't. And then he retired.
What is it about Shawn? Why are you a Shawn guy?
If you follow his career, there's very set, defined points and character traits and Shawn Michaels eras. And I just love that you can just follow or pick up any of his old stuff and you know what era you're in for Shawn Michaels. So obviously you had his Rockers era and then the Heartbreak Kid era when he split up with Marty and then when he was the top guy in the new generation and then DX and then his redemption comeback story, which then led into his retirement and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, it's just, I've always been a Shawn guy, really. I can't explain why, to be honest. I just thought, and even as a kid, I think it might have been like the zip line entrance and the different ring tire that he had at the time, and he was just cool. You know, he's just a cool dickhead, and that was just the kind of wrestler I gravitated to when I was a kid. And then, and obviously, who didn't like DX when they were a teenager? You know, he just did all the cool stuff.
It's like it's exactly as you say, where it's not completely about the matches, it's about the moments. He went out with a moment, like a match that, as you say, picked up pretty much where the match the year before left off.
It was like almost a 2-year story, that whole feud. It was great, like how the Flair thing kind of bled into him wanting Taker and him going at Taker continuously and then, you know, nearly beating him at WrestleMania 25, and then after that he kind of sent him down a path of he needed to beat him, which then he traded his career for. It was just, it's just all great, all good stuff.
Is there something that you, when you watch that match, that you have utilized in your own in-ring work?
No, I don't think so, because I've never been, if I was ever in a position where I'd have such a high stakes match where it was, you know, my career versus something that I'd forfeited or potentially forfeited my career to attain something. Maybe I looked at that particular match and see what I could pluck out from. But it was just storytelling, good wrestling 101. Everything is, you know, someone could go and do that match move for move anywhere, and I wouldn't feel anywhere near as what I did watching it, because it's not the same people. I'm not invested in the story as I was at the time. There was just so many elements to that story of that match that people wouldn't be invested in, like the streak. There's always that. You always think, when's the Undertaker going to lose his streak? And people put things up against the streak, and you would think, oh, this could be the year it's gone, and it hasn't been. The fact that Sean had put his career up on the line, you know, the fact that it was the main event of that particular WrestleMania. Just so many things that went into it. It's WrestleMania, so you know, there's so many things like intangibles that go into that match that people can't replicate anywhere else, other than those two guys on that big stage. So I don't know if I could ever take anything from that and put it into anything that I do. It'd be hard to ask. Yeah, when I retire at WrestleMania, then we'll see.
Yes, that's where you go. That's how you go out. That is exactly how you go out. Roy, this has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for coming on to Cultaholic Island with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Where can people find out all about you, sir?
So I'm on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, all under the handle Roy Johnson. Yeah, if you just search for that, I'm all on there. I am not on TikTok. I'm not on Snapchat. I'm not on Cameo.
not right now, anyway.
Well, not right now. Cameo, I would love to be on Cameo, I don't know what it is, how it works. But anyway, and there's I don't get the demand for personal videos to that extent. And at the moment, I just give them away for free. What an idiot.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.